I'm Ebong Udama, and I cover Connecticut political news for WSHU Public Radio. Staying well-informed is essential to a well-functioning democracy. Understanding facts and filtering out noise takes work, and our mission at WSHU is to help you do that through coverage from our newsroom, NPR News, and the BBC. We're expanding our world together. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Connecticut could be among the last in the country to allow no excuse absentee voting. Jewish communities across our region prepare to mark 1 year since the October 7th attack on Israel. Officials say Connecticut's pension debt is among the highest in the nation, and a conversation with Orchestra Lumos kicking off its performance season this weekend. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut voters will have a question about state voting laws on their ballot this year. The state could be one of the last in the country to allow no excuse absentee voting. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
Connecticut is one of only about a dozen states in the country that requires an excuse, like illness or deployment, to vote absentee. Governor Ned Lamont says it's time to change that.
I want you to have a stake in the election. I want you to be part of that process. This has been the hallmark of this country, going back to the Revolutionary War. People fight for the right of this democracy, and it only works if you participate. And that's why we're doing this.
A yes vote on the ballot question will allow the legislature to vote to amend current voting laws. It doesn't mean the state will immediately be able to implement no-excuse absentee voting. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Some school students on Long Island can't go to class because of where they got their state-mandated vaccinations. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
The Plain Edge School District has barred at least 4 students who got vaccinated by nurse practitioner Julie Duvuono at Wild Child Pediatrics. State authorities allege the Amityville woman falsified vaccination records for measles, mumps, and other shots. Over 100 students statewide who received vaccinations from Duvuono are affected. Some parents of the children who've been turned away from their school have appealed the district's decision, saying there's no evidence that their kids are unvaccinated. Duvuono admitted last year to selling fake COVID-19 vaccine cards, but denies faking any other vaccination records. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Jewish communities across Long Island are preparing to mark 1 year since the October 7th attack in Israel by the militant group Hamas. That includes the family of Omer Nutra. The 22-year-old from Plainview was serving in the Israeli army when he was taken hostage. His family held a rally this week calling for his immediate release. Orna Nutra is his mother.
Can you imagine this? We wake up every morning praying that he too is still waking up every morning.
Supporters of the family tied yellow ribbons on trees near the Jewish Community Center in Plainview. They say the ribbons are a reminder that Nutra and 100 others are still missing. Fairfield County-based Orchestra Lumos kicks off its season this weekend with 2 inventive shows. A conversation with the group is ahead.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare, the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthCare.org.
State officials say bomb threats have been reported at multiple synagogues in New York leading up to October 7th. Governor Kathy Hochul says the threats aren't credible, but she's directing state police to work with local law enforcement through October 7th. She called the threats horrific and unacceptable, especially on one of the holiest days of the Jewish calendar.
Connecticut's pension debt is among the highest in the nation. State Treasurer Eric Russell says they're aiming to close the gap by 2048. He spoke with the state's Government Finance Officers Association and Public Pension Forum at their fall conference this week. Russell says they're continuing to invest heavily in pensions.
And as we continue to make this progress, I think this is something that the legislature will evaluate on an ongoing basis around how much of a priority solely our pension fund needs to be. Do we need to split what those additional contributions are going toward at some point? But 2048 is where we are. Obviously, as we make these additional contributions with strong performance, our goal is to reduce that amount of time that it takes for us to get there.
Russell says the state is in a better financial position than it was 5 years ago. And by the end of this year, the state will have paid an additional $8.5 billion into the unfunded pension liability. Yankee Gas, Connecticut's largest natural gas distribution company, plans to seek a 29% rate increase. State officials vow to scrutinize the request. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Yankee Gas, owned by Eversource, provides natural gas service to 252,000 customers in 85 towns in Connecticut. It's announced that it will soon file a request with the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority for a $209 million rate increase to cover past investments and pay for future upgrades. Attorney General William Tong has released a statement criticizing the move. He says it could not come at a worse time for Connecticut consumers already struggling to afford skyrocketing utility bills. Tong says it would cost the average Yankee Gas customer up to $38 more a month. State consumer advocate Claire Coleman is also promising to scrutinize the request. She says it represents the largest rate hike ever proposed by a distribution company. If approved, the rate hike would take effect November next year. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
The Fairfield County-based Orchestra Lumos kicks off its season tomorrow with two inventive shows. WSHU's Ada Uzenlar spoke with music director Michael Stern and the host of the orchestra's upcoming performance, Grammy, Tony, and Emmy winner Andre DeShields.
Michael, this season for Orchestra Lumos looks very different from an expected symphonies lineup. You have hosts for your performances hinting at a novel mixed media experience. Tell me more.
I believe passionately in music as service, and what Orchestra Lumos is trying to do is to expand not only the reach of the music that we play, but also to deepen the reason why we play it. We have this new idea this season to find these marvelous collaborators in various ways. Andre's here for this performance. So when I had the idea of fashioning this program, I was lucky enough to see Hadestown on Broadway before the original cast disbanded, and my friend here stole the show. So the idea that we should have this coming together of language and music in a way which is so important to us both is a privilege which we would like to share with the audience in the most visceral way.
Andre, you'll be hosting the first show of this ambitious season with Orchestra Lumos. It's called Orpheus Sings. What do you aim to accomplish with the performance?
Now, we all know the purpose of classical music, and that is to charm the heart of the savage beast. And what better time to charm the heart of the savage beast than right now in 2024, when so much is happening around the globe that might give you second thought about music. Now, we are healers. Every artist is a healer. Every artist, if you flip the coin, is an activist. So when we get to Stamford, we're going to hold to our audience an offer of peacemaking through music, not words per se, not any form of contention, but something that works as glue for the humanity in us all.
Who is the audience you're looking to attract with an innovative show like this one? Who do you want to see in the crowd?
We exclude no one. Let them come and listen. No, seriously, young and old, people who have been listening to music in the concert hall intermittently all their life, or some people have never been. Some people think music is exclusively pop or rock or Broadway or country. It matters not. The reason this theme for us in this program is so powerful is that look at the diversity of artists since Ovid who have been somehow captivated by this Orpheus idea. Writers, painters, playwrights, contemporary musicians, classical composers, there is something in this parable, in this story, which is so central to some facet of our shared human experience that they can find all kinds of different takes to offer to us and have us deepen our experience of that. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Andre?
The one thing that we have in common globally is that everyone is on a journey looking for some kind of salve for the wound that exists in each of us. I say, start with our concert in the Palace Theater on Atlantic Avenue in Stamford, Saturday and Sunday.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, you can listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And whether it's news, classical music, or podcasts like this one, it's all made possible with support from our listeners. So as always, thank you so much for listening and for sharing this podcast with your friends. Your vote matters, and so do your questions. What do you need to know to make an informed decision at the polls this year? Please let us know at WSHU.org. We're listening to what you want from your election news. When you get on the homepage, scroll down just a little bit. You're going to want to click on elections, and there's a quick and easy form you can fill out there to help shape our reporting. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day and have a wonderful weekend.